Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Welcome to Baltimore Christian Faith Center. My name is Cecil Smith. I've been blessed with the opportunity to share the message this evening. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we bless you for this gathering. We are gathered here in your name, so we know that you are in this house. And Lord, we bless you for everyone who is watching online, whenever they decide to watch. May these words that I speak tonight be your words, and may they be the truth, because that's what this church is all about, is the truth of your word. We want to know it better so we know you better. And so, Lord, let us dive into it so that we can have a better relationship with you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the last time we gathered and I had a chance to speak with you, I had a message that was entitled, Things Are Different Now. And the focus of the message is, we are now in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant anymore. The old covenant meaning the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and everything else that went with that. We have the new covenant. The new covenant that began when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, when he was beaten for us. And so I started out with kind of a list of things that are different now than were in the old covenant. And I'll just go through them real quick. Our sins are forgiven. Our bodies are healed. That's the first two things. And, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Or by his wounds, we were healed. So forgiveness of sins, healing of our mortal bodies, right off the top. But Jesus did so much more. He enabled so much more of the new covenant than just those two things. So our spirit was reborn. It was made pure. It was regenerated, made brand new. Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. Jesus and God the Father come to reside in us, to make us their home. Our spirit is sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're able to communicate directly to the Lord. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to go to the prophet. We go directly. So these are just some of the things in the new covenant. The beautiful thing about our sins being forgiven, which I brought up last time, was it is done already. So our concern is not, well, what happens when I sin tomorrow because I'm a sinner? I know I'm a sinner. Well, you repent. You apologize to the Lord. You change. You say, I don't want to do that anymore. You're already forgiven. So whenever it is time for us to go home, we don't have to be laying there worrying, have I repented of all my sins? Have I asked for forgiveness of all my sins? Jesus has already paid the price. It is a beautiful gift. Healing. The beautiful thing about this gift of healing is everybody can declare and claim their own healing through their faith in the Word of God and the promises of God. And then you can, through your faith and the promises of the Word of God, you can go lay hands on the sick, and they too will be healed. It's not just the prophets. It's everybody. In fact, we are directed to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. That's what we are supposed to do. And we can do all those things because we're in the new covenant. And it all happens through faith. But there's a bonus that we'll get to here in just a little bit. Our spirit was reborn, made pure, and the Holy Spirit came to live in us. This is huge. So our spirit was weak and decrepit. It helped us out a little bit, but as far as giving us guidance, direction on what we are to do, when we are to do it, how we are to do it, how we are to be more like Jesus, it didn't work. And so we were soulish. All our decisions were based upon what our soul wanted to do and what our physical body wanted us to do. And our spirit had very little input. Until Jesus. And until we decided to choose him as our Savior. So when we did that, the Holy Spirit came in and regenerated our spirit. What does that mean? Our spirit before was not pure. He made it pure. He made it brand new. He made it a pure place where he could reside in us. And the Lord had promised, I'm going to send you a counselor, a helper. And so now the Holy Spirit has a place to reside because it is the only pure, untarnished place within us, our spirit and the Holy Spirit, bound together. How do we know that the Spirit is in us? Do we trust in God's Word? Yes, we do. Let's start with John 14, 23. John 14, 23 tells us, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home. God the Father and Jesus will come and make their home in us if we love him. And then John 14, 26 tells us, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, so this is Jesus speaking, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He will send the Holy Spirit to us once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Once again, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to the disciples. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. Who will send him? Jesus will send him. And finally, let's look at John 16, 13 through 15. When the Spirit of Truth comes, so this is another name for the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whose spirit is the Holy Spirit? Spirit of God. So who is he hearing it from? He's hearing it from God. And so what is he going to be speaking to us? What God is saying. The truth of God. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So remember, Jesus told the disciples, there are things that I cannot tell you right now. But if I go away, I will send the Spirit of Truth, and he will tell you these things. So he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you at the right time. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So if all that Jesus has is the Father's, and the Spirit is declaring all of this to us, then we are hearing from the Father and the Son. So who was the first to receive the Holy Spirit? Exactly. Jesus was the first. The Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized by John the Baptist. You're absolutely right. But I was going someplace else. Thank you for that, though. Let's look at John 20, 21 through 22. Jesus said to them, now he's speaking to the disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And so you may be thinking, well, now, the disciples were part of the 120 that were in the upper room at Pentecost. So what is this Holy Spirit versus the Holy Spirit at Pentecost? We're going to look into that too. But remember, Jesus said, I will send you the Helper. And so he just did that. He breathed on them, and they received the Helper. Let's look at Acts 2:38. So then, how is it that people are receiving the Holy Spirit? So, Jesus breathed on the disciples. Something different happened at Pentecost. What about everybody else? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, he is preaching right after the gathering at Pentecost has heard the 120 speaking in all these tongues that matched up with the tongues of all these people from all these different areas. And then he gives this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can also look in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, believed in Jesus, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit was promised to us. And so when we believed, we were sealed with that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit in us is a guarantee that there is more to come. It is a guarantee of the promises of what Jesus has taught, what the gospel tells us, our salvation, our eternal life with God the Father and Jesus. At this point in time, our body doesn't belong to us anymore. It has been bought and paid for by Jesus. It is his. We live in it. We reside in it. We take care of it. But it's not ours. So just a little side note, what does that mean as far as when people say, oh, I gave authority to Satan, to the enemy, to attack me with this or that because I sinned or I said that. What authority do you have? You don't own this body. And who has all authority? Jesus. Jesus has all authority. And so Jesus is not about to give the enemy authority to attack us. So how is it we get attacked if we don't give the enemy authority? We speak it. We say it. We agree with it. There may be a symptom, a false symptom that the enemy puts upon you. And it's this pain. And you go, oh, that feels like that's right back there. What's right back there? That's a kidney. Oh, I bet I have a kidney stone. I don't. This is just an example. So Satan, you have no right. But you speak it, and then the enemy says, well, and the word says, you shall receive what you say. Is that the same as giving authority? That's agreement with the Word of God. That's not like saying, Satan, I give you authority to attack me. No. So, that's how we can get attacked. One of the ways. So, what is the difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So we've had people talking a lot recently about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, everyone needs to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So we were promised to receive the Holy Spirit. So is the gift of the Holy Spirit the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Or is it what Jesus did with the disciples when he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit? It can be a little confusing. So let's look at one of the first places where the baptism of the Holy Spirit is talked about. Let's look at John 1, 33 through 34. This is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So whenever somebody, say, joins the church, wants to dedicate their life to the Lord, and we baptize them, full immersion in water. We baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is the only one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes through Jesus. So why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Acts 1:8. You will receive power. The word power here is dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So we want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to receive power. Why do we need power? To be a witness. It's not to go around and kick butt with the enemy. It's not to be, you know, Superman in the church. It's to be a witness. We go, well, why do I need power to be a witness? Why can't I just go and speak? A lot of the people in this time, the Jews especially, they wanted to see signs and wonders and miracles before they would believe. Dunamis, that word for power, that means miraculous power, usually by implication, a miracle itself. So this is the power to perform miracles. So does this mean that if we're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, we can't perform miracles? No. We have the Word of God, and we have faith. Sister Marcia read, Jesus said, believe in God. If you say to this mountain, be picked up and thrown into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said has come to pass, you will receive it. That is faith. So if you have faith that in the Word of God, and that the Word of God is true, then you can command it in faith, and it will happen. Why? Because God said so. You can do so much with just your faith. So what exactly do I get with this power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We're going to get to that. But first, we're going to get to the second instance of the Holy Spirit coming upon someone. So that's another term for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. And this is the 120 at Pentecost. So let us go to Acts 10:44. While Peter was still saying these things, I'll get to this one in a second. We know the story of what happened at Pentecost, right? The 120, which originally was 500 and dwindled and dwindled and dwindled, those who didn't have faith. Jesus had told the disciples, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit, but you need to wait. And the 120 were the remnants, those who were still waiting when Pentecost came. So the Holy Spirit came upon each one of the 120 that were there. And immediately they started speaking in tongues. Now some of the people, obviously they were speaking rather loud, or else they had the windows open or something, because the people at the street could hear them. And it's amazing, but God is always amazing, that individual people on the street could hear amongst the 120 speaking at the same time, over the top of each other. They could hear their particular dialect or language or whatever. But they did. But there were those doubters down there that said, they're drunk. I said, no, they're not drunk. That's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came upon them, and immediately they spoke in tongues. In a minute, we're going to look at something referred to as the gifts of the Spirit. And one of those is speaking in tongues. We've all heard about it. A lot of us already maybe speak in tongues. And so one question that seems to come up a lot is, well, what is the proof of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And there are many people who say it is the speaking of in tongues. But there are those that say, nope, that's not it. It is for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be. Because speaking in tongues is a physical thing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual thing. But the speaking in tongues is the Holy Spirit speaking through us, but it's using our voice and our mouth and our whole process of speaking. So we have to utter whatever it is the Holy Spirit is feeding us to speak. We don't know in our physical self how to enunciate these words, how to say these words, what these words mean, unless we have another one of the gifts. We know that these words are not ours, but through the Spirit, we are able to speak these, to say these. And sometimes these are things that don't sound like a language. Other times, they are a dedicated language. I've heard multiple stories of pastors that give these testimonies of how I was getting ready to speak to this crowd, and all of a sudden, I was speaking in tongues, and I don't know what I was saying, but I was speaking in tongues, and I couldn't stop. And so I spoke this, and I spoke this, and I spoke this, and then I stopped. And then I said the rest of the message in English. And after it was over, people came up to me and said, thank you so much for what you said. And they were speaking in an accent. And he says, well, praise God. And they said, no, you spoke in our language so we could finally, truly understand the gospel and what you were saying. So the Lord used the gift of speaking in tongues through them to speak to people that needed to hear it in their language. So just because at one point in time you may be speaking a certain way, tomorrow it could be different, the next day it could be different, it could be different every single day. In fact, oftentimes it is. And then there will be the circumstance where you're going to speak in somebody's language and they understand what you're saying. So in this particular case, they were all speaking in tongues after the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now let's look at Acts 10:44. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. So he was speaking to the people outside of where the 120 were gathered. And then let's move on to Acts 10:46. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God, which is exactly what I was just talking about, how all these people heard their language being spoken. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And can we speak in tongues if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I could not find anything in the scripture that said so. Because, well, let me go through the list of what the gifts of the Spirit are, and we'll see. This is in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. See, it's not for our good, it's for the common good. Now, we benefit from it, but it's for the common good. For to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, also sometimes referred to as the word of wisdom, which is the ability to hear from the Lord about something that's going to happen in the future. And to another, utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, or the word of knowledge. In other words, what has already happened and happened all the way up to right now. So you're able to talk to someone and you suddenly know their history. That's a word of knowledge. To another, the utterance of, a knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Spirit. To another, interpretation of tongues, the ability to know and then to interpret what was spoken in whatever language that was and convert it to English so we can understand it. All those are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So it is not under our control. Now we can ask for every single gift of the Spirit. But the Lord knows our heart, and he knows, are we in a relationship with God such that we can use this to the glory of God? Or would we use it poorly? And so the Holy Spirit will not enable that gift in us unless we are able to use it to give glory to God. Now, some of these gifts, we saw a gift of faith, a gift of healing, and a lot of people ask, well, what's the difference in this gift of healing versus the healing that we are instructed in the Word to do, to lay hands on the sick? Sometimes there may be a circumstance where we need an extra boost of power for this healing to take place. I can't give you an example of it because I've never been in that circumstance, so I don't know. But the same thing with faith. Sometimes you need an extra boost of faith to believe through the circumstance or situation you are in. All of this is guided by and given and enabled by the Holy Spirit. All of these things represent power through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so if that's the case, how do we get this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, the disciples were told by Jesus, this is going to happen. And Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now, the rest of them that were in the 120, that made up the 120, we don't know whether they knew that Jesus said that or not. The other time this came about was Peter was told to go to Cornelius' house to meet with him. Cornelius was a Roman centurion who was good to the Jews. And he had helped them in a lot of circumstances. He had actually prayed to the Lord And the Lord heard his prayers. Because his prayer was, we need to know who you are, more about you. And so the Lord says, okay, I'm going to get someone. His name is Peter, and I'm going to send him to you, and he's going to tell you all about it. And so they went, they got Peter, brought him back to Cornelius' house. Peter goes to the door, they open the door, Cornelius drops to the floor, and Peter says, get up. I'm here because the Lord sent me. Cornelius said, I prayed for you to come here. And so Peter suddenly realizes that, okay, I need to talk to the Gentiles. And Cornelius is saying, we need to know about this God of yours, this Jesus of yours. Peter starts explaining the gospel to them. All of them gather, just hanging on every word. Suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they start speaking in tongues, just like the 120. And Peter is just, and those who are with Peter, are looking at them going, oh my goodness. This happens to the Gentiles just like it happens to us. This isn't just for us. It's for everybody. So why did it happen there? Did they ask for it? They may not even know about it. But Jesus said, I'm going to give it to them. Because there's a reason for that. They need to know that the Gentiles are no different than the Jews. You all can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so how about the rest of us? Have we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are we uncertain? Do we want to? What do? We ask Jesus for it. Because he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so, generally, we pray to him. I have a prayer. And this prayer I borrowed from a book from Curry Blake on speaking in tongues. And this was a pretty, I like this prayer. So I'm going to share this prayer with you. If you would like to say it with me, then I'll just step along and we'll just say it together. It is through faith that we receive this. All things that we receive from God are through faith. So, here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you said if we ask, you will give us the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. And we ask you right now for the Holy Spirit to be baptized in your Spirit. To receive the promise of the Father and to be filled to overflowing to the point. Father, where you are able to speak through us in other tongues. Father, where you are able to speak through us in other tongues. We receive that right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we receive it now. I say in the name of Jesus, right now, right where we are, whether we are seated here, seated at home, watching the live stream, in the name of Jesus, there is no time in the spirit realm. There is no distance in the spirit realm. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive him in the name of Jesus. Receive the promise of the Father. It is a gift to you and to as many as the Lord God shall call. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. And just breathe in the Spirit of God. and allow that Spirit to flow up and through you. Even in other tongues, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, oftentimes, people who are trying to help people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after having the person say a prayer, they will kind of coach them on how to speak in tongues. The Word does not say anything about coaching anybody on how to speak in tongues. It is individual. It is from the Holy Spirit in you, uttering through you. It is not how somebody leads you to say it. Because what can happen in that case is if your faith isn't there, you can suddenly start making sounds that you feel sound like tongues, but it's not really coming from the Holy Spirit. It's false tongues. So what you want is for... So let me back up. The Holy Spirit cannot speak through you if you keep your mouth shut. If your mouth is closed, nothing's coming out, nothing's going to happen. So if you want to start speaking in tongues, you have to open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. But you have to start. Breathe out. Open your mouth. Whatever. Start. And then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Now, some people, it just turns on. It's like the faucet turned on and it is wide open. Derek Prince tells the story of how he went to a Pentecostal church and he heard about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so he learned about it, and he was enthralled with it. And he was in the Army then, and he went back to his barracks that night, and he laid down, and all of a sudden, bam! He was speaking in tongues, and he could not stop. Nobody else was in the barracks that time. The bunks was empty. The place was empty. And he's on the floor, and he is just speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking, and he cannot stop. He can't turn it off. And he's thinking, oh, the other guys already think I'm crazy. If they come in and I'm just gibbering away here, they're really going to think I'm crazy. But he couldn't stop. And that's just how the Lord worked with him, through him. And you'll hear stories about those kinds of testimonies about how people receive the Holy Spirit and suddenly start speaking in tongues. Doesn't mean that that's how it has to be. It's individual. Praise the Lord. I am out of time. The next time, what I would like to talk about is being one with God, being one with Jesus, being one with the Holy Spirit, and through that process, how we develop a relationship with each one of them and how that changes everything about how we look at the world, how we live, how we act, how we respond. Everything. Sorry I did not get to that tonight. But I praise the Lord for this time to spend with you and share this word. Father God, I bless you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit in us and upon us. Lord, may we seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses for you without fear, without concern, without anxiety, to witness to people and to do the great and mighty things that you need us to do in order for them to believe. For Lord, we are doing all of these things to glorify you. So thank you, Lord, for being in us, the guidance that you give us, and the path that you have set us on. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening.